Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word, and I am Pastor Steve, and this show is for Tuesday, November the 22nd, 2016. I may have to mute the mic every once in a while to clear my lungs a little bit. I'm having a continuing problem with chronic bronchitis, and please forgive me, but it's just something I have to deal with. We're going to be going into the book of Ruth today, which needs to follow the book of Judges, because the very first verse of chapter 1 starts out, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges, 8199, ruled." 8199. That word can have dual meanings. It means when the judges judged. Now, there are several terms for judges in this book, and I'll get started on that right away. Pardon me for a second. Okay. This story occurred prior to Samuel. And it occurred in the occupied territory that formerly belonged to Moab. They had run out or killed the racial Moabites, and these are Israelite people that are concerned here in this book, not Moabite people, not racial Moabites. These are Israelite people. Churchianity and the Jews have used this mistranslation to sully the bloodline of Yeshua the Messiah. I will explain that a little bit later when Ruth gets married. Who she marries is very, very important. I will read the definition of 430 Elohim from Strong's Concordance so you can see for yourself what I am talking about. It says, Elohim, plural of 433, Eloah, gods in the ordinary sense, but specifically used in the plural, thus especially with the article Ha Elohim, of the supreme God, that means Yahweh. Occasionally applied by way of deference to magistrates, that's judges, and sometimes as a superlative, angels, exceeding, God, goddesses, godly, very great, judges, and mighty, our mighty ones. Elohim also means judges. It's another version of judge. It is used in the book of Joshua. And I noted that when I did the reading of that book. But they have translated it as, "Your God shall be my God." No. Your judge will be be my judge. I'll get to that when we reach that verse and give further teaching on that and how they have deliberately mistranslated this to try to show that the bloodline of Yahshua is impure, which it is not. It is perfect and pure all the way through. Excuse me for a second. All right. Yeah, my furnace just kicked in. It's cold here now. So periodically my furnace will break in. So let's get started with the book of Ruth. This is chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges, 8199, ruled 8199, or judged, that there was a famine, 7458, in the land. And a man of Bethlehem, Yehuda, that's Bethlehem, Judah in your King James, that's also known as Ephrath, 672. They had several names for it. Went to sojourn, 1481, in the country, 7704, or the land or occupied territory of Moab, 4124. He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, 458. And the name of his wife, Naomi, 5281. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon, 4248, and Kilion, 3630. Ephrathi, 673, from Ephrath, Bethlehem, of Bethlehem, Yehuda. And they came into the country of Moab and remained there. All right. This is like if I moved to California, I would be a Californian. Okay? This is physical territory, not racial reaffiliation. Verse 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, 7604, with her two sons. Verse 4. And they took them wives of Moab, 4124. That's the territory, not the race. The name of the one, Orpah, 204. And the name of the other, Ruth, 7327. And they dwelled there about 10 years. Now, on verse 4, you can reference Deuteronomy 23:2 or 3, depending on which version of the Bible you're reading, and Jeremiah 40:11. This tells the story of what's going on there. This was conquered territory. And these are all Israelites in this story, not Moabites. Verse 5, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of both 8147, her children, 3206, and her husband. So her husband and her two sons died while they were there. Pardon me a second. All right. Now, verse 6. Then she arose, 6965, with her daughters-in-law. That's one word in Hebrew. I had to mute the mic, folks. That's 3618. To return from the country of Moab, because she heard in the country of Moab that Yahweh had visited, 6485, his people in giving them bread, 3899. Verse 7, wherefore she went forth from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they walked, 1980, on the way to return to the land of Yehuda. All right. We're not talking a huge area like the United States or even Great Britain. It's like walking toward the state border from Ohio to Indiana. Okay? Even smaller than that. The territory of the inheritance of Yehuda was right next to the border of the former land of Moab, which was occupied by the Israelites, because the Moabites had been conquered and eliminated some time back, and the Israelites were living in the occupied territory. So they were not walking a vast distance. Verse 8. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each woman to her mother's house. Yahweh deal kindly with you, that's 2617, as you dealt with the dead, 4191, and with me. Now, the dead, they were talking about their husbands. Verse 9. Notice that she's calling on Yahweh because she's an Israelite. She knows the name of Yahweh. Verse 9. Yahweh grant, 5414, that you may find rest, 4496, each woman in the house of their husband. In other words, she hoped that they would remarry because they were still young women. Then she kissed, 5401, them, and they lifted up their voice and wept, because they loved their mother-in-law. Their mother-in-law was one of their favorite people. She was a dear, sweet person. Verse 10, and they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people, 5971. All right, this is her family, not even another racial people. That's family or tribe of Yehuda. Okay. Verse 11, and Naomi said, turn back, my daughters, 1323. Why will you go with me? Are there yet sons in my womb, 4578, that they may be your husbands? In other words, she was an older woman and wasn't going to have any more children. So she was urging them to turn back to the area that they were familiar with, in the former land of Moab, and find other husbands there. Now, verse 11, you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 25, verses 5 and 6. Now we go into verse 12. Turn back, my daughters. Go, because I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, I should also have a husband tonight, and also should bear sons. Verse 13. Would you wait 7663 for them until they were grown? Would you remain unmarried, that's one word, 5702, for them, 2004, not 1115, having husbands? No, my daughters, because it grieves me, 4843, much, 3966, for your sakes, because the hand of Yahweh has gone out against me. In other words, she was just depressed. Her husband had died, and now her two sons had died, and they hadn't had kids yet, and she was just a broken woman at that point. Verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, 2545, but Ruth stayed with her. Verse 15. And she said, behold, your sister-in-law, 2994, has gone back to her people, 5971, and to her judge, 430. Return after your sister-in-law. Now here, this is 4:30, as I stated in the beginning before I started reading the verses. This is Elohim. This has multiple uses. It does not mean a deity in context in this book. It means a judge or magistrate, because they lived in defined area, in territory defined by the jurisdiction of a magistrate. That's how the whole land was set up. They had district magistrates, like territorial governors that ruled over the people. Verse 16. And Ruth said, do not entreat me, that's 6293, to forsake you, to return from behind you, 310, because wherever you go, I will go, and where you lodge, 3885, I will lodge, your people, 5971, in context as family, not a different race of people. Your people are my people, and your judge, 430 again, my judge. They have translated that as God here. That is incorrect. She did not have a different God or divine being than Naomi. Ruth had worshipped Yahweh. Listen to this. Verse 17. This proves it. Where you die, 4191, I will die, and there I will be buried, 6912. Yahweh, do so to me, and more also, If anything but death, 4194, parts 6504, you and I. Very blatant. She worships Yahweh. She used the name of Yahweh. She didn't say Baal or Chemosh or one of the other gods, Rimmon or Molech. She said Yahweh. She was an Israelite that worshipped Yahweh. And churchianity and the Jewish publications lie when they say that she was a racial Moabite. She was not a racial Moabite. She was a racial Israelite living in occupied territory that formerly belonged to Moab. She wasn't a Moabite by race. She was a Moabite by territory. All right, I am an Israelite. I am an American by national affiliation. But I'm still racially an Israelite. America, as a definition, is no longer a white nation. It is just a nation. It has a national government. And I'm living in this land with all different kinds of people. So they call me an American if I go abroad. Okay? But I'm still racially an Israelite, sojourning in this land. All of us are. All of Israel are sojourners. We are in dispersion. We are no longer living over in that land that is now occupied by the pretenders and all the many different mutts that occupy that territory anymore. All right, verse 18. When she saw, speaking of Naomi, that she was determined, speaking of Ruth, to, that's 553, to go with her, then she ceased, 2308, speaking to her. In other words, she wasn't going to nag her. No, no, don't go, don't go. She accepted her love and stopped bothering her about it. Verse 19. So they both walked until they came to Bethlehem, 103.5. That means the house of bread. And that is where Yeshua, Messiah, would be born many years in the future. And it came to pass when they came to Bethlehem that all the city was roused, 1949, over them, and they said, is this Naomi? Now, 2063, is this 2063 Naomi? And that's 5281, Naomi or Noomi, it means pleasant. Okay? Verse 20. And she said to them, all her neighbors, that's just where she was from, and they all knew her. And she said to them, do not call me Naomi, or pleasant, call me Mara. It's 4755. That means bitter. And that comes from the root of 4751. Because the Shaddai, 7706, that means the Almighty, had dealt very bitterly, 4843, And that is the root word for 4751 and 4755. The Shaddai, the Almighty, had dealt very bitterly with me. Okay. Pardon me just a second. I got to clear my throat again. And wash that down with a little bit of iced tea. All right, verse 21 of chapter 1. I went out full. 4392. That's full or for fulfilled. As an idiom, this is an idiomatic usage of this word, as family. And Yahweh has returned me empty. 7387. Why call me Naomi, seeing Yahweh has responded against or answered, 6030, me, Ana, to respond as a witness, here as against. And the Shaddai, the Mighty One, the Almighty, has afflicted me. That's 7489. Verse 22, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, that means a woman from the country of Moab, not a racial Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned from the country of Moab, there you go, from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning, 8462, of barley, 8184, harvest, 7105. Pardon me a second. That's a little rough. My bronchial passages are scarred, and I get fits of very bad coughing. You'll have to forgive me. This is the best I can do. Let's go into the chapter notes that I have written in my written version of Ruth. Verse 1 has Judges 8199 over the people. This was instituted by Moshe long ago. Yahweh was supreme, and they did not have a king yet. And the district judge dispensed justice by Yahweh's laws. Number 7704 refers to country. And 4124 is not the people of Moab as former inhabitants, but the territory itself. Historically, this was territory taken by Israel from the Emori, that is the Amorites, who had taken it from the Moabite, the Moabites. This is found, and you should write these down and look this up. Please, this is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 25 and 26, and 31 through 35. The book of Judges, chapter 11. Verses 20 through 22. And 1 Chronicles chapter 8, verse 8. That's Benjamin's family history. Oh, boy. I have to have one hand on the mouse to mute that mic. I'm sorry about that, folks, but I'm having a real bad time this time of year. So all of this was occupied by racial Israelites when they slew all the cursed seed line people that formerly lived there. In verse 2, Ephrath or Ephratah was the old name of Bethlehem, and it was in the territory of Yehuda. And its people were referred to as Ephrathi, like calling somebody a New Yorker if they came from New York City. Verse 4, number 4125 comes from 4124, and in this case does not mean a racial Moabite, but a resident of the occupied territory. An Israelite living in Georgia, like I said, would still be a racial Israelite. But you ask him, where are you from? Well, I'm from Georgia. Okay. That's the state he lives in. Deuteronomy 23. It would be verse 2 in your King James Bible. In the Hebrew text, it's verse 3. Strictly forbids marrying a racial Moabite. Okay? Because they were mixed breed. You don't marry outside your race in those days. Moab was Lot's son by incest with one of his daughters, and Moab means from my father. All right, at the end of Ruth, in chapter 4, it shows the lineage from Boaz to King David. Boaz's father was an Israelite prince. David's line goes to Yeshua Messiah. And the Christ haters use this mistranslation to imply the perfect Passover lamb had impure blood, so he could not be the promised Messiah. That's because Satan is a subtle liar. And I'll read that passage from Deuteronomy to you as it is in the Hebrew. Shall not come a Mamzer, 4464, into the congregation of Yahweh, even unto the generation of the tenth, shall not come into the congregation of Yahweh. And Mamzer is a mixed breed or a mongrel. You don't marry and mix a breed. You just don't do that. Let me get to chapter 23. Let me get there. Here we are. All right. This is verse 3. An Ammonite or Moabite does not enter the assembly of Yahweh. Even a tenth generation of them does not ever enter the assembly of Yahweh. All right, that's a law. That's a commandment. That's not a suggestion. The Israelite mindset was centered around the temple worship. Whether it was the tabernacle before they built the actual stone temple and all the physical structures, the worship of Yahweh, the being part of the congregation, was the all to Israel. These people were highly respected and even royalty in Israel. They would not, under any circumstance, marry outside of their race because their children could never enter the congregation. It would destroy their bloodline, their seed line, forever. It was just unthinkable. Unthinkable. So they wouldn't do it. Well, you're going to see Boaz marrying Ruth later. And he would not destroy his royal bloodline by marrying a Moabitess, because the child would not be of pure blood and could not enter the congregation. So, they are liars if they tell you that Ruth was a racial Moabitess. She was not. Pardon me. And let's get into chapter 2 here. Verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman, 41:29, of her husband's, a mighty, 1368, man of wealth, 24:28, of the kindred, 49:40, of Elimelech. Okay, he was near kindred, and his name was Boaz, 11:62. Now the Levirate law say a near kinsman needs to marry a kinsman's wife if he dies to keep his name alive in Israel. That's the Levirate law. Remember that. Verse 2, and Ruth the Moabite, again, be like saying Ruth the Californian, said to Naomi, let me go now to the field and glean 39:50 heads of grain behind 31:10 him, 8:34, in whose sight I shall find 4672 grace, 25:80. And she said to her, go, my daughter. All right. Now, Boaz means strength or quickness. Verse 2, you can reference Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, and Deuteronomy 24, verse 19. They left gleaning for widows and orphans. Both Naomi and Ruth were both widows. So they would go, and the heads of grain that they missed, they went through quickly and left it for the poor. And she went out and was going to pick heads of grain by gleaning behind the reapers. Verse 3, and she went and came and gleaned in the field behind the reapers. That's 7114. And this happened, 4745, to occur, 7136, on a portion, 2513, of the field of Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech, Naomi's husband. Okay? They were kin. 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, Yahweh be with you. And they answered him, Yahweh bless you. Those were greetings that were used in those times. Like I opened the show with Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. because you Israelites out there are my racial kindred. Verse 5, then Boaz said to his young male servant, 5288, that was set, 5324, over the reapers, whose damsel is this? That's 5291, and that means a young girl of marriageable age or a maidservant. Verse 6, and the young male servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is a Moabite damsel that came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. In other words, this girl was living in Moab, but she's an Israelitess. Verse 7, and she said, please let me glean and gather, 622, behind the reapers among the sheaves. 6016. So she came and has stayed behind us from the time of 227, the morning, until now, and she sat in a short time, 4592, in the house. Verse 8, then Boaz said to Ruth, have you not heard, 8085, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field. Indeed, 1571, do not go from here, but stay with my maidens, 5291. Verse 9, your eyes on the field that they reap, and walk behind them. Have I not charged, 6680, the young men, 5288, that they shall not touch you, 5060? That's naga, that means to touch sexually. In other words, she wasn't in danger from the workers. And when you are thirsty, 6770, go to the vessels, and of what the young men have drawn, 7579, drawn water. Verse 10, this is a big act of kindness, you know. And she prostrated herself, 5307, literally to fall, with her face bowed, 7812, to the ground, 776, and said to him, why, 4069, have I found grace in your eyes that you should acknowledge me, 5234, seeing I am a foreigner, 5237, that is nokria, and as it is used here, it means not of one's family from another country. It does not mean from another race here. She is not a racial alien. I have to understand the context of the passage. You can't generally apply that, or any of the Hebrew. Hebrew is full of figures of speech and idioms and metaphors and colloquialisms. They spoke differently from different territories. Pardon me. 11. And Boaz answered and said to her, it has fully been reported. That's 5046 doubled. For it's been fully reported to me, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a family of people which you did not know in times 8032 before 8543. She was born in Moab. Hey, I was born in America, but I'm an Israelite. No problem. Verse 12. Yahweh repay your work, 6947, and a full 8003 wage, 4909, be given to you of Yahweh Elohim of Israel, under whose wings, 3671, you have come to seek refuge, 2620. In other words, you have come home to the land of Israel, and you're going to receive all of the Yahweh's blessings that go to the seed of Abraham. Verse 13, then she said, let me find favor, 2580, in your sight, my Lord, and that's 113, that's correct, because you have comforted me, 5162, and because you have spoken from the heart, 3820, to your maidservant, 8198, though I am not like one of your maidservants, because she was a widow. Verse 14, and Boaz said to her, at the time, 6256, of food, 400, come here and eat of the bread and dip your morsel, dip is 2881 and morsel is 6595, in the vinegar, 2558, that's a fermented wine vinegar. And it made the bread really tasty because it was pretty tough. And she sat beside the reapers and he handed her roasted grain, 7039, and she ate and was satisfied, 7646, and had some left over, 3498. 15, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean among the sheaves, and do not shame her, 3637. Verse 16, and pull out, 7997, also from the handfuls, 6653, pulled out for her, and leave them, 5800, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her, 1605. In other words, let her take whatever she wants. Verse 17, so she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, 2251 for beat out. And it was about an ephah, 374, of barley. That's 3/5 of a bushel. They beat the head of the grain, and the grains would come out, and then they'd throw the stalks and stuff away. And they did that on a cloth, and they would carry it like a sack, just fold the four corners of it. Verse 18, and she carried it and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought it forth and gave to her what she had left over after she was satisfied. She brought part of that meal home. From verse 14, verse 19, and her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be he that acknowledged you. And she reported to her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. Verse 20, and Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of Yahweh who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said to her, the man is near of kin, 7138, to us, one of our kinsmen redeemers, 1350. Verse 20 of chapter 2, reference Leviticus 25, verse 25. Now she identifies her, one of our kinsmen redeemers. She acknowledges that Ruth is an Israelite and kindred, right there. Verse 21. And Ruth the Moabite said, He said to me also, you shall stay with, 1692, my young men until whenever they have completed my harvest. And stay with here is work close by. Verse 22. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maidservants, that they do not meet you in any other field. The meet is 6293. Verse 23, so she stayed with the maidservants of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelled with her mother-in-law. Now, gleaning, these are chapter notes, gleaning behind the harvesters by the poor and needy is found in Leviticus 19, verse 9 and 10, and Deuteronomy 24, verse 19. Both Naomi and Ruth were widows, and Yahweh commands that they be cared for by the community. Ruth worked hard and was noticed by Boaz. She was so thoughtful that she brought home the leftovers from the meal to her mother-in-law. This was a righteous woman. Absolutely. She was of Israel. She followed the laws of Yahweh, our divine being, Israelites. She was not a racial Moabitess. She was an Israelitess living in an occupied territory. I have shown you that several times in these passages. Regardless of what falsehoods churchianity teaches about this book, as they teach about many books, the book itself, when read properly and translated properly from the Hebrew, as I have done, this is almost verbatim in the Hebrew, shows clearly that they are lying. The book itself refutes their false testimony and false teachings. There are no impurities in our Messiah's bloodline. They try to use the excuse that, oh, this shows that even a Moabitess and a harlot can be saved. Rahab wasn't a harlot. She was an innkeeper. Their lies are exposed there. Ruth was not a racial Moabitess. Their lies are exposed here in this book. Come out from among them and be ye separate, my brothers and sisters. Don't listen to their lies. They always try to put that little seed of doubt in there. Well, how can this man be the Messiah if he's got a harlot and a Moabitess in his bloodline? He can't be the Messiah of Israel, the Redeemer. So, no. That's because they deny him. These lies are planted by the Christ deniers and the users of the Babylonian Talmud, which has morphed into modern-day Judaism. So much for their lies. I will be getting into chapters 3 and 4 tomorrow on Wednesday. This only has four chapters in this book. And we're going to get into the bloodline of Boaz, and how Boaz as and Ruth got hooked up, the romance. This is a very revealing book of the history, and this also ties in with the bloodline all the way up to King David. Dawid is the proper pronunciation. Dawid. The Jews have changed the W, which is a W, into a V. They have even perverted the language. So we're doing what repair we can by reading from the Hebrew itself. Their English translations are abominable, as is the King James perversion. They follow right along. They had Jewish scribes hired to change the book around. I have restored the name of Yahweh. I don't use the Lord. I read it like it is in the Hebrew. So I hope you find it interesting and instructive. And I will say Shalom Aleichem. I want to leave a little time so they can put the intro and outro music in. My computer program is messed up again. It takes fits. That's just how it is. The devil works on everything. So peace be with you, and I will talk to all of you tomorrow, and we will do chapters 3 and 4 of the book of Ruth. May Yahweh bless and keep you.